continuing to pray as we continue to move through these things. If I could give a word of admonition to each and every one of us, it would simply be this: wherever you find yourself, be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Steadfast. Unmovable. And as much as the Lord would allow, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so, church, we will be faithful. Amen. We will be faithful. And as God gives you leave and God gives you opportunity, take some of that grace and pour it out on somebody else for God's glory. Brother Frank.
Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 13. This evening we'll be looking at verse 22. And Pastor will be preaching a message, A Man After God's Own Heart. Excuse me. Taken from Acts chapter 13, verse 22, out of respect, the reading of God's word. If you would stand, please. The word of God says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Father, thank you for your precious word. We ask now that you would be with our pastor as he brings the message you've placed upon his heart. Father, help us to be obedient to your word. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you. Right? Thank you, church. And again, as we look into the word of God tonight, church, I just for the sake of transparency, it's always good when the preacher's honest, right? I struggled with the message tonight, as it seemed the Lord had given me a message, but it seemed with all of the extenuating circumstances going on. But the Lord just kind of settled me in this reality, that it'd be good for us tonight, after our time of prayer, to take a look into the Word together and just get into the Word. You know, we talked about it this morning. What do? When everything around us seems to be failing, we go back to that which never fails. And so tonight I want to look at the Word of God, and I want us to look and kind of begin a concept of teaching, if you would, of something that every one of us can get behind. And that is a man, being a woman, being a Christian after God's own heart. Because, you know, there are many things that we can do with our lives. There are many directions that we can go, many emphases that we can find. But there is one direction that you and I should all desire. And that is, each of us should desire that we might know God, His Word, His will, and His ways. Every one of us ought to share that desire. Now, when we look at David, who is referenced there in Acts chapter number 13, and we're going to look tonight largely at 1 Samuel chapter 16, David was called a man after God's own heart. Striking, because this was God's testimony of him. I mean, I would love for God to say some similar things about me, that I was a man after his own heart. But when we consider that phrase, after God's own heart, that phrase, it seems simple and it seems complex, all of us, all at the same time. And so I want us to take some time and to see what it means to be a believer after God's own heart. Because David was not a perfect man. David had made some big time mistakes. David had sinned in Olympic record fashion, so to speak, from a human standpoint. Big mistakes, adultery, murder, and the like. If David were around today, we would probably not vote him into church leadership. He wouldn't make the final cut on the deacon ballot. And yet God used David in incredible ways, because David was a man after God's own heart. David was imperfect, but God's testimony of David was that he was a man after God's own heart. And one of the things that you will notice about David and David's heart after God is that his heart was hungry. You go back to Acts chapter 13 and verse number 22. Don put that up. After the Lord gives the description that David was a 13:22, the one we just read, Brother Don, to start the message. After it says that David was a man after God's own heart, he says, which shall fulfill my will. It gives us that sense that David's heart was set, that David's heart had that desire. Could we even use the word, because it's alliterated, that David's heart was hungry to do God's will. So I want to consider that tonight, as we consider what it is to be a man after God's own heart. We're going to look at a number of these in weeks to come as we kind of move through the life of David. But I want to just bring out a couple of thoughts about David was a man after God's own heart because we could say he had a hungry heart. And so let's flip over, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I'm going to look at this account of where David really comes into the scripture. Now, I know we have a reference of David at the end of the book of Ruth. But David really comes to the forefront of scripture here in 1 Samuel chapter number 16. And I want to start by reading the first 11 verses together tonight. And then we're going to look at a couple of things. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord, and call Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him who I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came unto Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peacefully? He said, Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass that when they were come, he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on what, church? Looketh on the heart. Jesse called Abinadab and made him to pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. And Jesse made Shema to pass by and said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come thither. Can I point out tonight about a hungry heart that is after God's own heart, that desires God, his word, his will, his ways, that this is a heart, number one, that's given to preparation. You know, I notice as we open the story here with David, The beginning of the story of David, it seems rather unnoteworthy. David does not burst onto the scene. You want a story where somebody bursts onto the scene? Go to Elijah. I mean, Elijah bursts onto the scene. He sticks his finger in King Ahab's face and says, There will neither be rain nor dew in the space, but and except by my word. And then he disappears. And it's kind of like, all right, I like him. But that's not how it happened with David. David was rather unnoteworthy at the beginning of his story. David is actually an afterthought. In fact, if you read verses 1 through 11, do you know who doesn't even get mentioned by name? David. In fact, his own daddy refers to him as just the youngest. He doesn't even get a mention by name. And David is not present here with his family because David is out keeping sheep. You know, we often rush by this. And we rush by this to the fact that, boy, they didn't sit down till they went and got David. And when David came, the Lord moved and they anointed David and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And the Lord had great things for David. And we jump right over to there. But the reality is we can't afford to jump past this. Because what we see here is all the preparation that had gone into David before David had arrived on the scene. You see, as a shepherd, David had come to know and appreciate his shepherd. And before David ever became king, before David ever killed a giant, before David ever had his head anointed with oil, David had developed a closeness with God. You see, out in the field, with the sheep, wandering from hillside to hillside, down through the dark valleys, David had come to know and appreciate his shepherd. He didn't have just come to learn about God. You know, learning about God is a cheap substitute for coming to truly know God. I'm going to tell you, that's sadly where a lot of Christians, and especially a lot of young people, go wrong. That they know a lot about God, but they never reach the place where they personally come to know God and have a living relationship with Him. But David came to know God as a shepherd in that season of preparation so that he could write things like, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest mine head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, it was out with the sheep. It was before Samuel ever called that God had allowed David to prepare his heart, because there is no substitute for a heart that is hungry to know God more. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 3, beginning in verse number 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is in the law, but with that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." Church, that doesn't come for us knowing about God. That comes from you and I growing to know God. David's heart was hungry, and that hungry heart was given to preparation. There, before anyone ever thought of David, David had spent a lot of time with his God. David had not just developed a closeness with God, keeping those sheep. But David had also developed a command of his gifts. I think this is important. Because, you know, before David was ever ready to rumble with a giant, before David was ever ready to reign with grace, David had already cultivated a command of the gifts that God had given him. You look further in this chapter, 1 Samuel 16 and verse number 18. I want you to see the testimony that Saul's men give of David. He said, "Then answered one of the servants, and behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, a Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing," speaking of the heart, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." So you see what happens, but before we ever get to the giant, before we ever get to the throne, David has taken time to cultivate the gifts that God has given him. You know, sometimes we get the wrong idea that we are just waiting on God. And you know what? It is good to wait on God and to trust in him and to wait for his moving. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But we are not waiting the weight of inactivity. We are waiting the weight of patient service, of diligently preparing our hearts, of diligently preparing ourselves. And David was given to preparation a closeness to his God, a command of his gifts. David didn't realize all that God had in store, but David's hungry heart moved him to be ready for all that God willed. Being a Christian after God's own heart creates a hunger within us to prepare ourselves for all that God has for us. You know, everyone used by God is prepared by God. I mention this because it's timely in the day and age that we face, often prepared by God in the trials of fire. I think of Joseph, prepared by God as he was betrayed by his brothers. Joseph, prepared by God as he was lied about by Potiphar's wife. Joseph, prepared by God in the prison. Joseph, prepared by God as he was forgotten by Potiphar's servant. Joseph, prepared by God through many trials. Moses, prepared by God through Pharaoh's house and through the backside of the desert. Peter, prepared by God through his fishing, even when he didn't know it. The reality is, God is working now, using these times to do something in us that he might, in his time, come to do something through us. Before people wanted David, David wanted God. And he had a hungry heart given to preparation for all that God had for him. I want you to notice something else about David and his hungry heart that we can kind of glean from David here. Look back at verse number 11. The Bible says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are these here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come thither." I'm going to make this statement. It's really just a statement of application. Not only was David's heart given to preparation, David's heart was given to dedication. David was dedicated to his task. It was no secret that Samuel had come to town. In fact, the Bible says that the leaders of the town trembled at his coming. Samuel was a really important dude. You would be hard-pressed for one of the main people in the government, one of the main people in the moving of the nation to show up and people not know. It was no secret that Samuel had come to town. It was a big deal. And I'm willing to bet, too, that it was no secret that Samuel had requested David's own house. That David's daddies and his brothers were there. The servants talked, I guarantee it. The town talked, I guarantee it. Yet David was willing to persevere in his place. You know what I don't see David doing? I don't see David complaining that he was left out. I don't see David feeling sorry for himself. I don't see David giving in to even abandoning his post for that which is new, exciting, or unique. You know, there are some times when it's tempting, isn't it? Something new, exciting, unique comes along and we want in. But sometimes God would have us to stay. And David's hungry heart was given to dedication. He wanted what God wanted. He wanted what God wanted. He wanted what God wanted. Even if it meant being alone with sheep when everyone else was at a party. And his hungry heart wanted to be what God wanted and where God wanted. Wanted that more than what he wanted for himself. David was dedicated to the task. You know, David was dedicated to present responsibilities, even when it seemed mundane and unimportant. I want to say tonight as a church, nursery workers, thank you. Nursery workers, thank you. Hopefully they're listening by radio, otherwise, you know. But thank you. Awana workers, thank you. Sunday school teachers, bus drivers, thank you. Friendly church members, thank you. Thank you for being dedicated to where God has placed you and what God has given you to do. Thank you for staying by the stuff. David was dedicated to present responsibilities even when it seemed mundane and unimportant. David was dedicated to even precarious responsibilities. One day there was a lion and a bear that showed up. And David stayed by the stuff. Even when it got hard. Even when he had to put something to risk. David stayed by the stuff. He was dedicated to the task God had given him. His heart was hungry. David was also dedicated to God's timing. You realize this? There was no indication in David's life that things were going to change. There was no indication that he would ever be anything other than the youngest, which in that culture was not a position of high esteem. The baby typically didn't get spoiled in that culture. Typically, the baby got overlooked. It was the oldest where all our hopes and dreams lied. The youngest, nah. And there was no indication. No indication that there was a giant in the throne in David's future. And yet David was content to God's timing, whatever that was. Church, it is so easy to get frustrated when we don't feel like God is moving. Church, it is so easy to get frustrated when we don't appreciate the season we are in. My flesh does not appreciate this present season. My heart hurts. My head hurts. But being a man, a woman, a Christian after God's own heart says, I want all that God wants and I am dedicated to it. No matter the task, no matter the timing. And David's heart was content to be right where he was because he was hungry for what God wants. And so what is it about a hungry heart that we can learn? We learn first that it's given to preparation. We learn second that it's given to dedication. I want you to see this last thing. Let's look at verses 12 and 13 together. The Bible says, and he sent and brought him. So David was brought in. And the Bible says, and he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So what is it about a man after God's own heart? What is it about being a Christian after God's own heart? What is it about having this hungry heart? Well, it's given to preparation. It's given to dedication. And let me point out finally, it's given to participation. Given to participation. Here's what happened. David was positioned to acquire God's will. Why was David in position to acquire God's will? Why was David in position to see the Lord move in his life? Why was David in position to hear from the Lord? David was in position because David had prepared himself. David had prepared himself. What was it that God saw in David? It wasn't his ruddy, beautiful countenance. What was it that God saw? God saw the heart that David had prepared every step along the way. He had prepared himself. He had dedicated himself. David was positioned to acquire God's heart. David was positioned to acquire God's will. I fear sometimes that we don't hear God's call. We don't feel God's heart. We don't follow after God's heart because we profess to want it. But in reality, we are not in position to receive it. Put it to you this way. I don't know if this is a good thing or bad thing, but I have no idea what's happening in the gym right now. I'm pretty sure there are teenagers in there. I am pretty sure they're being led by our fearless leader, Dan Utley. But I have no idea what's really happening in the gym right now. None. 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 I don't know. That might be a good thing. Might be a bad thing. You know why I have no idea what's going on in the gym? Because I'm not positioned to see it, to hear it, to receive it. And I fear sometimes that we as Christians, you know, we grow content. And we lax our preparation, we lax our dedication, and we wonder where God is, and we wonder when God is going to move. Church, if we truly want to be a Christian after God's own heart, we have to have a hungry heart, prepared and dedicated, positioned to acquire God's heart. David's hunger positioned him to be a man after God's own heart. And then here's the key. Not only was David positioned to acquire God's heart, but David was prompt to accept God's will. You know, the Bible says that Samuel anointed David. I'm going to tell you, that meant something. It wasn't just like David showed up and was like, okay, that's different. And then they went on with life. No, this was a significant matter beyond what you and I comprehend in our day and age. David had been set apart by the man of God for service to God as the king. And you know what we don't find from David here? We don't find David objecting to being anointed the next king. Now remember, he's a kid. He's a teenager. He's a teenager. Well, what do you think would happen if we went back to the gym to find out what was happening, grabbed one of our teenagers, drug them up here? Because remember, they sent for David. David wasn't in there. Drug them up here. I went to my office, found some essential oils and started rubbing it on their forehead and said, congratulations, you're going to be the next pastor. How do you think they'd respond? I don't think so. You know what we don't see from David? We don't see any objections. You know the crazy thing is? When God told Samuel what to do, do you remember what Samuel did? Go back to verse 2. God said, Samuel, go to Bethlehem. Anoint a new king. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. Even the man of God objected. But David, so hungered after God's heart, did he understand everything at this point? Probably not, but it didn't matter. Because if this was God's will, this is what he wanted. And he not only was in position to accept God's will, he was prompt to accept it as well. Nowhere does David object to being anointed the next king. He was a kid. You remember there was already a King Samuel voiced objection to God over this thing, not David. David's heart was fixed, was hungry to see God's heart brought to pass. David desired God's will be done, and David's heart was so hungry, he was willing to accept whatever the risk to see God's will done. And this is the foundation of what being a Christian, a man, a woman after God's own heart is all about. Being able to say, my heart wants God's heart. My heart hungers and thirsts after righteousness. My heart wants God's heart. My heart wants to follow God, to know Him, to know His Word, to know His will, to know His ways above all. I want to encourage you tonight. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes we have men and women and we have mamas and daddies and we have husbands and wives and we have young people and we think, you know what, that's all well and good for the preacher because, you know, the preacher gets to do things. But nobody sees me. Do you remember what the Lord said to Samuel? I believe it's verse number 7. He said, but no. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And the reality is tonight you have a heart that's hungry for God's will. Young people, listen to me. You develop a heart that is hungry for God's will now. You say now at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, I want God's will. I want God's heart. I want God's word. I want God's ways. I want God. You develop that now as a young person, as a college student. You develop that now. And the Lord sees your heart just as He saw the heart of a shepherd boy keeping sheep. Mamas and daddies, nursery workers. Bus drivers. God sees your heart. And that's all that matters. Because His great promise for those who are hungry after Him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled. You bring a hungry heart. And God will fill you. And God will use you. And God will empower you to do His will. Verse 13 says, from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. I want God's heart. I want God's heart. May that be each of our prayer tonight.